My name is Ernest Howell, and you are listening to the Unauthorized Wizard Podcast. This is a chronicle of primary source material regarding the wizard Esmeralda Sinclair and their travels in the 21st century. Although I have tried to go through official channels to access the relevant research materials, my petitions have been lost or denied time and time again. And so, in an effort to respect the wishes of Esmeralda Sinclair and wizards like them, I have taken to the task of liberating these records from their hiding places and publicizing them with my own hands. After all, in Esmeralda's own words, "If I were just going to sit around quietly and follow the law, I would never have gotten anywhere as a wizard." Thank you. Please enjoy. Prologue. Of course I've been to Avalon. An important thing to know about me as a person is that I have never, in my life, left well enough alone. And so, it should come as no surprise to you all that when the continent of Avalon reappeared in the North Atlantic as suddenly and inexplicably as its famous disappearance in the 13th century, I wasted no time in traveling there as quickly as I could. Keen observers of politics or international laws may already be tutting about how it's illegal, several international courts have banned all travel there, and it's not safe to go somewhere that didn't exist for several centuries. The thing is, laws and safety regulations are far too trivial a thing to let stand in my way. And besides, when I got my start on this little trip, it wasn't technically illegal to do so yet. For this, I have my dear friend Alyssa to thank. As a member of the International Council of Mages herself, she got the news a few days before it hit the papers. And crashing on her couch that month meant that when she came home complaining about the huge headache of a day she'd been having, it only took a little bit of polite inquiry to get her to reveal the juicy details. Alyssa, to her credit, instantly regretted telling me. "Esmeralda, I know that look in your eye. You absolutely can't go to Avalon. This whole thing is already a political clusterfuck, with the potential to nullify decades, no, centuries of treaties. Not to mention the fact that the place was in the middle of one of the bloodiest civil wars in history when it stopped existing. If you go there and do make it out alive, it would be such a political disaster, I'd have to kill you myself to keep it quiet. Do you want that, Esmeralda? Do you?" "Alyssa, my dear friend, you know there is nothing in this world that you could do to stop me from doing anything." "You know, you're gonna be the death of me one day." "I don't know that I could kill you if I tried, at least not in the traditional sense of the word." "I don't want to argue with you about metaphysical semantics today. But if you are going to go, will you at least promise me that you won't go out of your way to cause an international incident?" "I'll do my level best to keep my involvement in Avalon and its ever-evolving political state out of the news, but that is the best I can promise." "I'll take what I can get. Stay safe out there. I don't want to hear if you get beheaded again." "I'll be fine. Besides, you and I both know I've overstayed my welcome here." She gave me a tight-lipped smile. "Not at all. My own magical gift to tell lies from truth can come in handy, but I didn't need it to hear Alyssa's words ring false." We exchanged our usual pleasantries, and I made my way from her place at Crescent House to the beach, It was a nice short 2-hour walk through the woods to the shore, where I could look out over the vast gray ocean and prepare for my journey. Getting across the ocean is not particularly difficult for a seasoned spellcaster, but it's not as simple as hopping onto a bus either. In my experience, the best way to get anywhere that doesn't have pre-existing portal infrastructure is to be a migratory bird, preferably something cheap and not too ostentatious, like a seagull. Of course, if you are a natural-born shapeshifter, it is a simple matter of willing yourself to be one. But for the rest of us, it's best to have plenty of those transformation capsules on hand for this sort of thing. I know what you're probably thinking. These are prohibitively expensive. Why use them? It's because there is unfortunately still no cheaper or faster way to travel, so our hands are tied. I bit into the capsule. It was crunchy and sharp like rock candy, and the pill itself was bitter on my tongue, but the electric fizzing of magic made up for it. I kept my thoughts on seagulls and their shapes, doing my best to keep the image of what they look like in my mind, to avoid any mishaps. And in no time, my leather boots were gone, and in their place were my scaly seagull legs and webbed talons. I could feel the ocean rustle in the air beneath my feathers. People often describe birds taking off as graceful, but as someone who's done it themselves a few times, I am sad to report that the elegance is greatly exaggerated. It's a lot of holding your arms or wings over your head, awkwardly hopping and fast walking along until you get yourself at a good angle. It's a lot like when people at a ball game are trying to start the wave, but it's not catching on, so you just hold your arms up there in the air looking like an idiot until the wind finally takes mercy on your sorry little pose and lets it catch beneath your wings, forcing you to frantically flap your way up into the air. And so, it was gracelessly that I took off into the sky and made my way across the Atlantic towards what 12th century mages, who were only mostly wrong, called the greatest concentration of magical power in the known world, Avalon.